Hello, it's time for At the Table again. I'm Peter Fleming, and I'm introducing here Gail Hall. You hear the old saying, head cook and bottle washer. Well, of course, I'm the bottle washer, and Gail is the head cook. Hello, Gail.
Well, you're the two I see, that's for sure, with some of what you're producing just lately. But yes, hello, everybody. It's been a day, actually. It's been a day. But I think we're going to start off with some of our successes and some of our not so good, on my part, recipes that we've tried in the last week. So, Peter, I'm going to put it over to you to talk a little bit about yours first.
Right. Well, my wife had a go at the beetroot brownies.
Yeah,
beetroot and cream cheese brownies. Yep. And you've got one there in front of you, which I think you've had a piece of it.
Well, I didn't want to have a piece of it because I was going to save it, especially tonight, to have with my coffee. But because it's been made, I've taken two bites out of it, and absolutely lovely. And the content, you cannot taste the beetroot. Yeah, exactly. And Peter said, oh, Claire forgot to give it a swirl, but I don't think that really makes any difference to the taste. It would only make a difference to the look of it. And it's got lots of chocolate, white and dark chocolate. It doesn't matter anyway. But very, very nice brownie. Very rich. So even if you put out, you know, six or seven pieces, if you've got visitors, I'm sure they'll only be able to eat one each because it's lovely. It's very rich,
nice. It is, but it's not oversweet.
Oh,
it's
not oversweet. No, definitely not, but very, very nice.
Okay, right. The other one I had a go at, we've got visitors coming, was the green pea and feta dip with roasty chips.
Looked lovely. When you sent me a photograph, it looked really nice.
There's photographs of all these on the website or somewhere or other. Right, the green pea and feta dip was fine. I used a tin of peas.
Oh, you did.
Yours?
We talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, and it was absolutely fine. And it would probably have a little bit more flavour, maybe, if you use frozen peas. Or even fresh peas. But I wanted to try it with the tin peas.
Oh, good. And you drained the tin peas, of course. Yeah.
And everything else was fine, just as it's done there, feta crumbled and everything. Yeah, whizzed it all up, and that was fine. Now then, the only problem I had was with the potatoes. I was a bit surprised when you said about the recipe, slice them into slices,
yes,
3 to 4 millimetres thick.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Because you only put them, and then you coat them with oil and flour and the a bit of
flavor, spices,
paprika. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then you only sort of bake them in a fairly hot oven and 10 minutes each side.
Mm.
Well, that did virtually nothing, you know.
I mean. Oh, okay.
So, I think I left them in there. I did them, flipped them around a bit for about half an hour in the end, and they were still soft.
Oh, yeah.
It tasted nice. They were still, so, personally, I'm sorry, but I would say forget about the potato roasty chips.
Mm.
And just use some corn chips or something, because the dip is well worth making.
Mm. It looked lovely, actually. And I remember we spoke about the green. You know, I said to you that the green would be sort of more colourful with the frozen peas. Now, did you find that it didn't look dull?
No, it's fairly pale, though, because tin peas don't have an enormous amount of colour, do they?
Exactly, but it looked lovely in the dish anyway.
Yeah,
I thought it looked fantastic, and it actually did look lovely with the way you arranged the potatoes around it. You know, I thought that looked really good.
I can't even say the proper a better way to do them. You'd have to try and cut them a lot thinner, because they're quite moist, aren't they? So 10 minutes each side, there's no way crisp them up. And then, in fact, put them back in again a bit later on and tried to crisp them again, and they still didn't crisp.
Oh, well, there you are. Well, this is good. This is why we try these things.
It is indeed.
You know, it's really been a great exercise for Peter and I to do this.
It's enjoyable, isn't it?
Yeah. And we're the recipients of it, so it's really great.
The bonus is we get these things to eat. And talk about bonuses. Sitting in front of me, I have Gail's effort that she's done with the little almond and honey pastries.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a story in itself, Peter. And you actually said they were not too bad.
Oh, yeah, very nice. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that was a session that I had today. And basically, I'm going to tell you, to be honest, I mean, I took out the frozen sheets and let them thaw out. And then I made the mixture, which is almond and lemon juice rind and honey. Not much in it. And basically, I was All good until I put the other sheet of pastry on the mixture with the plastic separation paper and pressed it down till I saw it squeeze out the corner. I thought, oh no. So I very quickly had to try and get that top piece off after being squeezed on and took it off, managed to get it off, but it sort of split the pastry a bit. Now, these are supposed to be twisted, you know, like twisted around and then done into a coil. So they look really, really nice. Well, that did not work. It did not work. So I did two in a coil and it looked like a mess. So I just stripped them all in strips or soldiers and baked them like that on a non-baking paper tray because I had visitors and never greased it, didn't do anything. Went in the oven. Oh, I opened it up and it came down. Oh, they look good. Tried to get them off the tray. Well, that wasn't easy. So this is, but they actually look okay, to be quite honest. I mean, I brought some in for Peter and Claire, and basically he's tasted it. He said, looks fine. It tastes good. So
they're nice. Again, they're not oversweet. Yeah. They're very pleasant texture.
Oversweet. Mm. And basically, so if you do see these, well, you will see them because the recipe's posted on our page. And I never took a photo because I was a bit, you know, I thought they're not going to look like what I imagine them to be like. But you could do them in long strips. I did them in the long strips, and as soon as they came out of the oven, got sharp knife and cut straight through them.
These look really nice. They look like cheese straws.
Well, they are. They do look a bit like that, a little bit thicker. But please, you know, don't do it without greasing the thing. I put the actual tray out for the birds to eat all the leftovers. But when I left, they were having a feast.
And don't forget to take the paper out.
That was a bad mistake.
That reminds me of people who do roast chicken with the giblets still in the plastic bag.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was funny, you know, Peter, when I took it out, I thought, there's two bits of plastic in that, but oh, I must have been mistaken. And of course it was, you know, when it separates the pastry, it really clings to it. So you can easily pick up a sheet, press it down. I was just so pleased that I didn't bake it with them.
Well, that's true, yes. At least you stopped yourself before.
Oh, the birds
then
would have got the whole lot, yeah. But never mind, this is all fun.
It is, it's all experience.
It is, yeah. So not such a good day for me, but a great day for what I received anyway. So we're going to start off today, Peter. We're still in the soup of the week. And this one is really, really good, pasta and bean soup. And this is a complete meal as far as I'm concerned and can be made in about 20 minutes. So it's nice and easy and got lots of goodness in it. So we start off with one large clove of garlic, one medium to large onion, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and 1/2 teaspoon of minced red chili. And I don't know, you can leave that out if you want to. I'm not sure how much 1/2 teaspoon of minced red chili would affect the whole soup, because I'm not a great, you know, person for having sort of hot stuff. But there you are, 1/2 teaspoon of that. 2 bay leaves, 1/4 teaspoon of dried thyme, a 425-gram can of Italian tomatoes. I know that you can get those at the supermarket. And a 425-gram can of red kidney beans and a 440-gram can of 4-bean mix. So you've got your 3 tins there. That's why it's such a quick soup, but tasty. 4 cups of vegetable stock or 4 teaspoons of stock powder and 4 cups of water. 1 cup of small macaroni or other small pasta. There's plenty to choose from. About 1 teaspoon of salt, black pepper to taste. And of course, if you want to put a topping on it, you can use basil pesto or parsley, which is freshly picked, and some Parmesan cheese. Nice. A lot of ingredients, but all good. Finely chop the garlic and onion. Heat the oil in a large pot, then add the garlic and onion and cook without browning until the onion is soft and clear. Stir in the 1/2 teaspoon of minced chilies, whole bay leaves and thyme, and cook for a minute longer. Add the contents of the cans of tomatoes and beans. It doesn't say to actually drain them, which interests me, because but I guess they've still got a bit of goodness in the can. the beans, you know, especially sort of mixed beans, you know, all that liquid that goes into it. Well, this is a soup after all, isn't it?
It's interesting you say that because often I hesitate as to whether it should put the stuff in. And I watched Jamie Oliver one time when he was doing one of these super duper hearty soups and things. Mm-hmm. And he just said, tip the whole lot in. He was opening tins of lentils and that. And he said, don't drain them. Tip it all in.
Oh, well, I think in this case, Peter, with a soup, I think it'd be good.
Well, as long as it's not a salty thing.
No, that's right. Extra flavour. So you put those in and then the stock, of course, obviously, the 4 cups. Bring to the boil, then add the pasta. Simmer, stirring occasionally until the pasta is tender, which is probably about, we cook pasta, about 15 minutes, I guess. Then taste and add salt and pepper if you think it needs it. We love our seasoning. Now, it didn't mention anything about taking out the bay leaves. So I just thought, well, you really do need to take out the bay leaves because you don't really want that in your plate. Then when you've plated it up, top each serving with a teaspoon of basil pesto, which looks really nice, or chopped fresh parsley. I love chopped fresh parsley on things, savoury things. And then put a little bit of grated or shaved Parmesan cheese over it. And it looks really, really nice. And it is a meal.
Oh, yeah, that looks good. I quite like these 4 bean mix kinds
I like
of
them
beans.
Too.
I think
yep.
they're, you can do so. Just tip those in and add to them with something or other, even just a bit. My good old favourite bacon.
You
get a really tasty meal.
Yeah, yeah, no, I thought that was a great stuff. And the basil pesto on it looks really nice. And I love the beans. I do love them. They're really nice.
Nice. That's another simple one, is it?
Yeah, well, it is really. When you look at it, I mean, everything you would have, I don't know about chilies, keeping chilies, but I think you can buy chilies by the jar. I'm not sure. And because it's nothing that I actually buy. But basically, you look at that, and it's all pretty good stuff, and stuff that you'd probably have apart from the beans, you know, the cans of beans.
But you could use dried chili or chili flakes, couldn't
you? Well,
you
could. Yeah, exactly.
Tiny
yeah,
amount.
Exactly. Yeah. So there you are. That's our pasta and bean soup.
Good one.
Done
good
in
one.
About 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Now, we're going to move on. This one appealed, actually, because we've done a lot of mixture of ingredients in our cakes and savoury stuff. But as soon as I saw this, I thought, well, we haven't done anything to do much with prunes. And I saw this, and it's got a lovely illustration, and it looks beautiful. And it's called a sticky prune cake. And to me, we've had beetroot. What else have we had? A kumara?
Oh, that's parsnip.
Parsnip, your parsnip, yes, the parsnip and Earl Grey tea loaf, which was great. And I had actually some left in the freezer, and I had a meeting last night, so I brought it out. I said, oh, there's Earl Grey tea in there. And they said, did you take out the tea bag? And I said, well, it wasn't that bad. But anyway, basically, we're starting off with 500 grams of prunes. And just if you've got some of the prunes, have got seeds in them, so remove those and halve the prunes. 200 mils of natural yogurt, 100 grams of sugar, 100 grams of honey, 200 mils of olive oil, 4 eggs, 300 grams of white flour, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, and 2 teaspoons of mixed spice, and 1 teaspoon of ground nutmeg. So quite spicy there, Peter, but, you know, quite a bit of spice in there.
Yep, good hope.
And now, basically what you're doing is heating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Line a large cake tin with baking paper. In a small bowl, mix 300 grams of the prunes and the yogurt and set that aside. In a bigger bowl, blend together the sugar, honey, oil and eggs using a wooden spoon. Sift in the flour, baking soda and spices together. Add in the prunes soaked in the yogurt and fold to just combine. So please do not overmix. We're just combining it with that wooden spoon. Pour the mixture into the prepared tin and arrange the remaining, which is about 200 grams, I think, if I remember rightly. Yes, 200 grams of the prunes over the top. And you're baking that for about 30 minutes, which to me, if it's a large cake, doesn't seem terribly long. So just keep an eye on that, or until a toothpick or a, any sort of like what a stick?
Skewer.
Skewer, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Peter. Inserted in the middle of the cake comes out clean. Remove from the oven and cool in the pan before serving. And this looks absolutely lovely.
Yeah, and come on, let's have a look. Oh, yeah, that does, doesn't it? Oh, it's not a dark cake, is it?
No, it's not a dark cake.
No.
Ooh, no.
Yeah,
right. But it does look nice, I must admit.
I'll put my hand up to make that one.
Okay. Oh, God. That's
now
good.
The prunes, these you buy these in a plastic bag, don't you? That's
well,
sort
you
of
do.
Moistish, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, you can get different varieties, but it's like the dates. Some you can get a bit high end dates, and same with the prunes, I think. But yes, you can.
Well, let's have a play around then.
But if you're at the place where you can pick your own, or you know, take out your own, you can just grab a bag. But but usually in a plastic
that's
bag.
Dates, isn't it?
I think they must sell prunes and help yourself, you know.
Do they?
At the one of those shops down Capity Road.
You're sounding less and less sure.
They have lots of bulk stuff. I can't think of the name of the place.
You put yourself in a hole. Go on, get out of it.
Yeah, but anyway.
All right. We'll sort it out.
Just go to your nearest supermarket.
I'm going to try that one.
Okay. Oh, good on you, Peter. I'll be a recipient of a piece of that next week. I look forward to it.
Right, okay, well, it's time for a bit of music. Now, done the usual magic here, and the magic word this week is prune. And through the wonders of the interweb, I found this little track here by a fellow called Frank Crummett. Everybody heard of Frank Crummett? No?
Well, tell them what year it was, Peter, then I'll say yes or no.
1928. A fine year for a good year for prunes. It was 1928. What's it called? But the prune song. Oh. So listen carefully. It's not a dancing one, Gail. How's your knee, by the way?
This is wonderful. Oh, actually, it's coming right.
Right. Okay.
Yes, well, I don't want to put it in jeopardy.
No, well, just sit and listen to the words on this while I enjoy it. Here we go.
Nowadays we often gaze on women over 50 without the slightest trace of wrinkles on their face. Doctors go and take their dough to make them young and nifty, but doctors I defy to tell me just why. No matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. We may get them on our face, prunes get them every place. Prohibition worries us, but prunes don't sit and brood. For no matter how young a prune may be, it's always getting stewed. In the kingdom of the fruits, the prune is snubbed by others, and they are not allowed to mingle with the crowd. Though they're never on display with all their highbrow brothers, they never seem to mind. To this fact they're resigned, that no matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. Beauty treatments always fail, they've tried all to no avail. Other fruits are envious, because they know real well that no matter how young a prune may be, hot water makes them swell. Baby prunes look like they're dead, but not wrinkled quite as bad. Every day in every way, the world is getting better. We've even learned to fly as days go passing by. But what about the poor old prune? His life is only wetter. No wonder he can't grin in the awful stew he's in. No matter how young a prune may be, it's always full of wrinkles. We may get them on our face. Prunes get them every place. Nothing ever worries them. Their life's an open book. But no matter how young a prune may be, it has a worried look. Prunes act very kind, they say, when sickly people moan. But no matter how young a prune may be, it has a heart of stone.
There we are. There, so if you want to get that record, it's Frank Crummett. It's called The Prune Song.
You'll only find it in a second-hand shop, I think. It's, but it's classic. I had a good laugh.
You'll find it on YouTube.
Oh, you probably will. Definitely. Oh, you just did.
It wasn't my own record.
Oh, okay. Right, we're moving into the second half of our show, and I've got lasagna pasta rolls with shaved ham and parmesan. Now, I'm going to give you the ingredients because there's someone sitting opposite me that's actually made this, and but I'll give you the recipe first, and he can have a chat about it. So we've got one packet of fresh lasagna sheets, 2 cups of shaved parmesan, 250 grams of shredded ham. You can buy those little bits of ham in containers, can't you, rather than cutting it up yourself. 3 cloves of garlic, crushed, 300 mils of cream, 2 by 400 gram cans of tomatoes and juice. Now, they can be crushed or tomatoes and onion. There's such a variety in the shops now with tomatoes. 1/2 cup of white wine, 2 cups of sliced mushrooms, 1/2 cup of black olives, pitted. I didn't ask Peter if he'd put those in.
Oh, I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay. 1 cup of mozzarella cheese and flat leaf parsley basil to garnish. Cut the lasagna sheets in half. Place a handful of ham and cheese along the length of each sheet, a couple of centimetres in from the edge. Roll tightly. Cut each roll in half and place in a baking dish. Place the garlic and the cream in a frying pan, large one, and stir over medium heat until it comes to a gentle boil. Add the tomatoes, wine, mushrooms, and olives. Pour over the pasta rolls and sprinkle with mozzarella and bake at 180 degrees for 30 minutes. Remove from the oven and decorate the top with chopped tomato, flat leaf parsley and basil. And that is your dish. Very easy. Another easy one, Peter?
It's sort of easy, like all these things. They look easier than they turn out
well,
to be.
Well, that's right. But you're experienced at this now.
I am experienced. I saw this one this week, and I like to make these things for a main course, and it was my turn to cook last night. So now, here we go then. So I went to the local supermarket and bought so-called fresh lasagna sheets, which on their best-by date run into August.
Oh.
But when I took them out, the plastic box thing that they're in, they were quite dry and they'd been folded up. Now, they had got sheets of plastic between them, but I found the sheets of plastic.
Good on you.
And took them out. Just to keep this out. But
can I just ask you, Peter, did you get them from the deli section, your fresh pasta? Was it in the deli? It had to be in the deli.
I'll have to tell you. If we went to Woolworths,
yeah,
and it's round in the section with all the cheeses and
the
butters and yogurts and stuff.
Oh, that's
there.
Right. Yeah, round that section.
There.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a problem. And then trying to straighten these it out because they were so stiff and drying, they cracked a bit. So I laid them out and cut them in half, as it says here. But then when I put the ham and the parmesan on and tried to roll them up, well, it was like trying to roll something in stiff cardboard, and they just broke.
Oh,
they were a bit of a mess. It wouldn't matter in the long run, but they didn't look very good.
No,
and they
that's
didn't
the
roll
thing.
Into rolls. They
we're
just
very
sort of
big
got,
on appearance, you and I.
Yes, It just turned up with big flakes of pasta, you know.
Oh, okay.
So that was disappointing.
Oh, right.
But anyway, not to worry. So I struggled with that, but that was just the shaved parmesan. Well, I grated it because it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
The shredded ham we bought from the deli in Woolworths.
Oh, right.
It is shredded.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Spot on.
It was already shredded?
Yeah.
Oh, great. And I bought, oh, that's worth knowing.
200 grams was about $5. I mean, it ain't. It's not expensive.
No.
It's good. Crushed garlic. Well, I use it out of a spoonful out of the jar.
Oh, yes. Right.
300 mils of cream. I did actually use 300 mils of cream.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I only use one can of 400 gram can of tomatoes because there's only two of us.
Oh.
But, and I, yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, it didn't matter.
Does that make any difference? So you got to tell me.
No, I, well, put it like this. I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
Half a cup of white wine, yes. Sliced mushrooms, yes. Yes, I did buy, we bought a jar of black olives, which were pitted and sliced, ready to throw in.
Finding all the shortcuts, good.
Cheaper than buying whole ones, in fact. So
yeah,
that was
great.
Good. The mozzarella cheese, bought a bag of grated mozzarella.
Oh, yes.
That was, and didn't have any parsley or basil. Right, so I had that problem with the with rolling them up, which was a pity, really.
Yeah.
Put them in a baking dish. I did the other bit, the garlic and cream and everything. That was do need to put salt and pepper. I did taste that because it does need salt and pepper.
Ah,
quite a bit,
it doesn't
really.
Actually steak, does it either? No, no, doesn't say anything about seasoning. So good.
Yeah,
did the taste test.
Keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. Good.
That's good. Anyway, so, and I also thickened it a bit, even with just one can of tomato.
Oh, did you?
Just a bit of cornflour stuff.
Oh, right, good.
Not a lot,
yeah,
but just enough because it looked very runny. Anyway, did the rest as I was supposed to do for about 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what, it's absolutely fabulous.
Oh.
It's so tasty.
And that was with one tin of tomatoes with everything else in it apart from another tin.
This is why I'd hesitate on a second tin of tomatoes because the flavour we got in this one was... And it's just that the pasta was a bit chewy. That was the only problem. But honestly...
Yeah, great, Peter. Thank you for doing that.
Pleasure. Now, we've just about got time for one of your sauces.
Oh, okay. Well, I've decided that, you know, it's nice to have a nice sauce with... maybe some vanilla ice cream or something like that, or another type of dish, maybe a, you know, a saucy sort of spongy type pudding. But I'm going to choose this one, Peter, the blueberry butter sauce,
okay,
which is easy too as well. So we're starting off with 1/4 cup of sugar, 3/4 cup of water, 3 teaspoons of corn flour, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 cup of fresh or frozen blueberries, 30 grams of butter, and 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. Now, for the method, we're combining the sugar and water in a pan. Stir in the blended corn flour, and that means blended with the lemon juice, because you don't throw corn flour in anything without being mixed, because it just turns to lumps. So just a little bit of water, but we've got lemon juice in this, so mix that blended your corn flour and the lemon juice. Stir constantly, overheat until the mixture boils and thickens. Add the blueberries, simmer a few minutes, add butter and cinnamon, stir, overheat until the butter is melted, and that's all you do. Blend or process until smooth, and you can strain it because the blueberries might just have a little bit of skin on them, I'm not sure. But process them until smooth and serve hot or cold. Now that makes 1.5 cups. So you can put that over your ice cream or anything else that you might like to use a blueberry sauce with. And we're so lucky, you know, 1 cup of fresh or frozen blueberries. I've always got frozen blueberries in my freezer because they're just so handy for this type of thing.
Yeah, and we've used it with Claire. We buy them when they're fresh in the shops.
They are, if they're a good price, yeah. Mm. But the frozen ones are, you know, can be affordable because 1 cup out of a packet of frozen ones, it's not a lot. You've still got lots left.
That's right. Well, that's a nice simple one.
It is a nice simple one.
Good, and sounds very tasty.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to have to close shop there.
Oh, okay.
Shut the kitchen up.
Yeah, shut the kitchen
Turn
up.
Turn the gas off.
Go off.
Put the cat out. Right.
Right. No, that's great, Peter.
Well, thank you very much, Gail. That's a nice selection. And so I do appreciate the lasagna rolls was a really good one. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, well, I can't say the same for my, beautiful honey and almond rolls. But as I said, and Peter said, they looked okay as sticks.
They do. Yeah. They taste very nice. All right, then, Gail. Right. See you next.
Okay.
See you next time.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
Bye.
Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.